Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters that the station that you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY and here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have a very special guest. And we've tried to get Phyllis Schlafly on about 5 times, and either she had to cancel or my board went out or something horrible happened. But at last, she's here with us after a long time. Phyllis, thank you so very much for being with us.
For asking me, Dr. Stan. So happy to join you.
Well, of course, Phyllis is the president of Eagle Forum, and of course, single-handedly, she blocked the Equal Rights Amendment, which was one of the worst things that they ever could have gotten through this country and through the this whole idea of course, legitimizing the feminist agenda. And Phyllis has written a wonderful book called Feminist Fantasies. Phyllis, what are these major feminist fantasies you write about?
The feminists have had full sway in the media for about 30 years, and they have these strange fantasies. They, for example, have perpetuated the idea that women in America are victims of an oppressive, male-dominated patriarchal society, and we need to remedy these centuries of oppression. Now, the truth of the matter is that the American woman is the most fortunate class of people who ever lived on the face of the earth. And so their fantasy makes young women believe they're victims. It gives them a chip on the shoulder attitude toward life, and it's extremely unfortunate.
It really is. And, of course, it's resulted in this whole idea of free love. And you have a wonderful treatise in your book about this idea of free love. Gee, girls can go out and just do whatever men do and be as free and promiscuous as they can. Why don't you address that? Because, of course, has this really liberated women being able to have sexual liberation?
Well, of course it hasn't liberated them. That's their idea of equality. The idea is you can never make any difference of treatment between men and women. That's one of their major goals. But when women engage in the sexually liberated lifestyle, I think they suffer a lot more than the men. For example, it's the woman who has the abortion, not the man. It's the woman who suffers more from the various social diseases that you get. And then the diseases that may even harm her as yet unconceived child. And women do have a biological clock. They pass up the time to find a nice husband and build a family, and then they find they're all by themselves. And it's apparently a big shock to women when they discover that. There is a book that came out last year by a feminist named Sylvia Hewlett that had more free publicity than any book I can ever remember. You or I would just give our IT to have publicity like that. She was on the cover of Time. She was on 60 Minutes. She was on Oprah. I mean, how can you top that? And the fact is that what she thinks she made a remarkable scientific discovery, that women in their 40s are less fertile than women in their 20s. And she interviewed all these highly successful career women and discovered that most of them were childless, but they didn't want to be. That is not the way they planned their life. But they followed the women's lib line that you can have babies anytime and you must build your career now because that's so much more fulfilling.
Oh, I'm going to have to interrupt you here. We're going to have to take a quick break. We have to bring a series of stations online with it. So we'll be back here in just a moment or two with Phyllis Schlafly. We'll be talking about her fascinating book, The Feminist Fantasies. Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Phyllis Schlafly, and of course she is the president of Eagle Forum. She, of course, is certainly a leader of the conservative Christian movement across America, and almost single-handedly she defeated the Equal Rights Amendment many years ago, which would have been a disaster for women because it would have given them freedom to serve in the military and to be drafted, and people didn't understand that all this talk about freedom and equality for women really, of course, would destroy femininity completely. And we've been talking about her great new book. It's called Feminist Fantasies, and it really goes into this whole feminist movement. And, of course, it is really almost an effort to destroy the family, isn't it, Phyllis?
The feminist movement is very anti-family. It's anti-marriage. It's anti-motherhood. It's anti-stay-at-home moms. The feminist movement has spent most of its time trying to make the role of full-time homemaker economically impossible and socially disdained. And, you know, if you want chapter and verse on that, Carolyn Graglia has a wonderful book called Domestic Tranquility, which proves that from all their tiresome writings. But I see the feminists where the rubber meets the road. That is, when they come in with their legislative proposals, in their litigation, in their college courses, in their activities on the media, and they have persisted in this line for so long, and they've had a great effect on a lot of people.
And, of course, I think they've confused a lot of young women. You know, they want equality. Well, certainly everybody, nobody wants to hold women down, but, you know, God designed us differently. And, of course, you make your point so very well.
Well, I did a speech at Tulane University a couple of weeks ago in New Orleans, and in the Q&A, one of these young women stood up and she said, "Well, I'm just really not sure there's any biological difference between men and women." And you just wonder how she was smart enough to get into college.
Well, of course, you point out, of course, you know, that what happens, you know, when there's a divorce, you know, the woman becomes usually impoverished. She's got the children. She's got the expenses. The man can go on and lead a new life and get a new wife. But the woman very often will end up, you know, certainly being impoverished and having to care for those children.
Yes, it does lead to loneliness. And you know, when I look at my life and compare my life with the women I debated 25 years ago, I have...
I'm going to have to interrupt you. Just we're going to bring in one more station. Okay, we're right back.
I'm glad you've got so many stations, Dr. Stan. It's very important for people to hear your message. And I do read your newsletter. I hope your listeners subscribe to your newsletter.
Well, thank you so very much. Well, you were beginning to say that 25 years ago you debated a lot of these feminists, and this was during the equal rights debate.
And now I have 14 beautiful grandchildren. And I look at those women I debated, and they don't have any grandchildren. So I tell young women, look around and see what you want your life to be. And I'm real happy with my life. But as I look at a lot of the feminists, they are not happy with their life. You know, there's a movie that the feminists have talked a lot about called The Hours, that's out now. Well, it's a real example of what feminism does and how it causes a woman to walk out on her faithful husband, abandon her children. And it leads to loneliness and suicide. It's just such a depressing movie. I only went to see it because the feminists comment on it, and I can't comment on a movie I haven't seen. But I sat there hoping they'd hurry up and commit suicide so the agony would be over.
Well, you know, I think that you only have to look at society, and certainly men have a job. Their job is to support their wife and support their children and to protect them. And, of course, the wife's job is to raise the children and to do all the things around the house. But together, they create a family. And you point out in your book so well that there are a lot of the women who want to be in careers, and boy, they've got a wonderful career, and they're making a lot of money. But they have a wife at home, or they have a woman at home who's doing all the jobs that they would ordinarily be doing. And of course, this whole idea of exploitation of women, that these career women are exploiting another woman to do the job that needs to be done.
Yeah, that's right, because the feminist movement has changed the attitudes of a lot of women and some men, but I have noticed, Dr. Stan, they haven't changed the attitudes of babies at all. They have exactly the same attitudes they've always had.
And they need a mother.
And they need a mother. And the little baby needs the round-the-clock care, and somebody has to do it. And if the mother's unwilling to do it, then somebody has to be hired to do it.
Well, of course, the strength of your book, it's just, you know, all of these very logical, just sound things that nobody should be arguing about. And you wonder how the feminists have been able to distort reality so much that anybody would possibly believe them, because most of them are very unhappy women. In fact, many of them are lesbians. Some of them are very masculine women. But most of them are very, very unhappy, and yet they seem to be doing everything they can to disrupt our society. And what's so amazing is they seem to be having so much help from the media and from the movies and even from many of our legislators.
They are completely dominant in the media. And, Bernard Goldberg has a best-selling book called Bias. And one very interesting passage in the book, he said, the biggest story you will never see on TV is the sad plight of the children who are not cared for by their mothers and who are put in daycare. And he said, the feminists are so strong in the media that they will not let those stories get on the air. They will not let you hear about the behavioral problems and the disease problems of daycare because they don't want to reflect on their lifestyle. He says he sees them drop the baby off in the morning, pick it up late at night, and they just resent anybody saying that there's anything the matter with that.
I was so interested in one statistic that you had that, the chance of getting the flu, or influenza in a nursery is about 12 times that you'd find at home. I'd never thought of that before, but that's really so.
Oh,
really,
yes,
so
in daycare, true. They're sick all the time. Just sick all the time. And, of course, anybody who's had a number of children at home knows how the flu bug, the cold bug, goes through one after another. But just suppose you've got 30 or 40 of them there. They're just sick all the time.
Amen to that. Well, as you go on, are we winning the battle against feminism? Certainly the feminists are well organized, they're well funded, and of course they really have had a tremendous impact on the attitude of so many of our young girls. So many of our young girls go through college and they think there's just no consequences to living with somebody. You had one fascinating story about this one woman who, I guess she was a co-ed in college, and she publicized the fact that she was living out of wedlock with her boyfriend, and she was sort of the poster girl of liberated feminism. Do you want to tell that little story?
Yes,
because that was so interesting.
And the poster girl for co-ed dorms, which most of the colleges have now, and she had enormous publicity in the New York Times and elsewhere. I've forgotten all the details, but it's certainly she ended up living alone. Marriage didn't last. I think one boyfriend after another, and it's a lonely life.
And of course, her boyfriend got married, has family, and he's doing fine. But this poor girl who thought that she was being so liberated and avant-garde, and she ends up a lonely single mother.
Oh, that's the way it goes. It's a lonely life. And these fantasies that the feminists build on, they're trying to repeal human nature. They just have an animus against marriage, against motherhood. They have convinced themselves that one of the big examples of the oppression of women in our society is that mothers are expected to take care of their own babies. And that's why you have to have government daycare. And to lift this terrible burden off the backs of women. And they're really out of touch. The local newspaper ran a big feature recently on a couple of aging members of NOW who were still stewing because when they were flight attendants, they were called stewardesses. Think of the indignity of that. Gender-specific word. And they're sitting there looking at their scrapbook with pictures of Betty Friedan. Now, I can look at my pictures of grandchildren, and they're much prettier than Betty Friedan.
Well, Bella Abzug and a few of these other, Gloria Steinem, was certainly known to be a poster boy in a military barracks, that's for sure. A poster girl in a military barracks. But of course, you made this point that, of course, they always want the government to come in and fund the daycare centers and cause the rest of us to have to pay so that the mothers can go out and go to work. But of course, government money is going to come from the seniors, the retired people. So they're taking our money to fund these daycare so these women can go out to work. And of course, they're not making that much money, but anything many of them feel to get away from the home and get away from their children.
That's right. You see, when they started out with their movement, which was in the late 60s, their buzzword was liberation. And you have to ask yourself, what was it they wanted to be liberated from? When you read their literature, it's really obvious. They wanted to be liberated from home, husband, family, and children. Now, once having kicked out your husband, then they all run to Big Brother government to fill the vacuum. And so I think feminism is not even compatible with the private enterprise system because they look for a government solution for every problem. They make their personal problems a societal problem, and then they expect the government to set up an agency and solve it for them. So you're not getting along with your husband. The legal services will help you get a divorce. You want an abortion. You want universal health care to pay for it. You need a babysitter. You want government-paid daycare centers to take care of it. You want a job. You get the government to get you an affirmative action job. You want a promotion. You get the Comparable Worth Commission or the Glass Ceiling Commission to force your employer to raise you or promote you. And it's always government solutions.
Well, don't you think that many of these people really are Marxist in the orientation, and that part of this purpose of the feminist movement was to destroy the building blocks of society, which certainly there's been a conscious effort to destroy God and country, but they also have to destroy the family, because God and family and country are the three building blocks of society, and if you can destroy the family, why, of course, you destroy the very element of what America was. I think they've done a pretty good job of it.
They have destroyed a lot of marriages, no question about it. And yes, that is an attack on our whole culture. In my book, Feminist Fantasies, I talk about a couple of movies where the plot line was about a divorce and custody. One was Kramer versus Kramer, and the other was The War of the Roses. Now, in those marriages, there was no real problem that we generally think of that breaks up a marriage. There was no adultery, there was no alcoholism, there was no abuse, there wasn't even any financial problem. The only problem was feminism, the women's liberation movement. In both cases, the wives suddenly got caught up by what I call the disease of women's lib, and she decided she wanted to be out on her own. She just didn't want to be married anymore. She wanted to make her own life and have her own job and her own business. And so she walked out on a perfectly fine marriage and a perfectly good husband. And that is what feminism does. In my own acquaintance, I have seen a number of appeared to be good marriages. There wasn't anything serious the matter. The wife, her children were grown. Then she would go to take some women's studies classes at the university.
That is always a danger.
And lo and behold, within a short time, she's filing for divorce.
Well, don't you think there's this basic theme, you want to be fulfilled, and you're not going to be fulfilled simply being subservient to your husband and your children and having to keep that. You've got to go out of the home to be fulfilled. And don't you think it's this sort of a false desire for fulfillment, that elusive goal, that when you find it, you really find that it's totally a lie?
It is a lie. Of course it's a lie. And now, I don't have any objection to women having careers. That's not the problem. There's some women who are perfectly happy with that, and that's fine. But you make up your mind what you really want out of life. But if you start out in the morning with a bad attitude, that the world is against you, you'll never be paid what you ought to be paid, if you get married, your husband will probably beat you up, you're not going to have a happy life. And you see the bitterness in the faces of these women.
All right, we're going to have to interrupt you here, and we're going to take a four-minute break, and we'll be right back with Phyllis Laffey. Welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Do you ever feel sort of run down, that you need more energy? Well, let me tell you about a product. It's called Be Alive Royal Jelly, and I've used this for close to 10 years, and my family has used it. We've been very, very happy with it. And it, recently, the company came and offered to sponsor us for a month, so we certainly agreed to that. We think it's a great, great product. It's made from the royal jelly that comes from the beehive. This is what the queen bee eats. It's sold with a money-back guarantee. If at the end of 3 months you're not completely satisfied and you don't have more energy, just give them a call. But if you'd like to get Be Alive Royal Jelly, call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. And I'm sure you're going to be very, very satisfied with the product. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that in times like this, it would be a nice thing to have an alternative means of being able to filter water. If something should happen, if we should have a disruption of society, as Tom Ridge has told us we are going to have, it's not a matter of if, but when, how are you going to get water? Well, if you have a water filter, something that's convenient and safe, where you can get water from a river, from a pond, or really from any place, and of course, we carry the big Berkey water filters. That the missionaries have used throughout the world for many years. They have ceramic filters, the big Berkeys, stainless steel, 2.5 gallons goes in the top, comes out the bottom. They're simply gravity filters, and they'll take out the bacteria and the cryptosporidium. They'll take out most of the chemicals and most of the chlorine. The big Berkey is an excellent product. It's available in every state except for California and Iowa. Ordinarily, the $279, we offer it for $239, and we also offer either a four-tape set or a video that we produce if you buy it through us. So that's $239 plus shipping, and we throw in a video and a four-tape set. Now, if you do live in California and you'd like want to get a water filter, there's something called the Berkey Light, and that's built very, very similar to the Big Berkey, only it's completely new. It's got a completely different set of filters. They're really much more efficient filters, but they have to be replaced every couple of years. And, of course, the Berkey, it's transparent. It's made out of a plastic rather than out of stainless steel. Ordinarily, they are $199. And, of course, if you buy them through us, why, you get a free video or free four-tape set. And these are available in every state, but, of course, in Iowa. So if you'd like to either get the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. And I think you'll be very happy. These products are well made. They're useful, and it's a good idea to have a good water source. Well, Dr. Stan back, and of course our guest this afternoon is Phyllis Laffey, of course president of Eagle Forum, and we're talking about her book, Feminist Fantasies. Phyllis, how can people get copies of your book?
Well, they can call toll-free at 888-773-6782. That's 888-773-6782. And the publisher will give your listeners a 50% discount if they call and say they're listening to your wonderful program.
All right, fine. And it is really, it's an excellent book. Well, I like Spence Publishers. We do interviews with many of their...
They do a lot of books on the culture. And the feminists, I think, are the biggest attack on our culture today. They've just had an enormous effect and all but bad.
All right, fine. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about the Equal Rights Amendment? Because I think this was really, such an important battle. What's wrong with equal rights for women?
What's wrong with it is putting it into the Constitution would force every law and every regulation, everything that's touched by government, to pretend that there is no difference on account of sex. Now, when they started out, we were just coming out of the Vietnam War, and the big issue was drafting women. It was perfectly clear that ERA would change the draft registration law from male citizens of age 18 to persons of age 18. And that was a hard sell. I had sons and daughters about that age then, and my daughters thought this was the craziest thing they ever heard of. You're going to give us a great new benefit? You're going to put us in the Constitution? And the first thing is we have to sign up for the draft like our brothers. So anyway, the fight went on for 10 years, and as we battled in the legislatures, but it became clear along the way that what they were really after was taxpayer-funded abortions and same-sex marriages. And remember, the word in ERA is sex. It's not women. So it's self-evident that if the city clerk looks at two men and says, I'm not giving you a marriage license because you're two men, she has discriminated on account of sex. And that, I think, is responsible for the current push to try to bring this dead body out of the casket.
And, of course, it's a long, difficult battle because most people in America have this idea of equality. I mean, we should all be equal. But, of course, I think when you begin to stress the fact that it was going to involve the drafting of girls into the military, and, of course, you had their own statements. They were really rather embarrassed when you brought that. I've seen the pictures of some of those television interviews that you did, and the other side looked very dismayed when you begin to bring out the truth about what this would really,
but they never denied it. They all said that's what they wanted. Of course, most of them were over draft age and didn't have any daughters. And so they looked at it from a different point of view from those of us who do have daughters. But they said they wanted equality. And they're still pushing to put women in combat. Just look at what's going on in Iraq. Now, look at the maintenance crew that took a wrong turn and was ambushed. There were three women there. And two of them, fortunately, were rescued. One was killed. Two of those women were mothers. One is a single mother of a two-year-old, and the one who was killed was a single mother of a three- and four-year-old. Now, I look at that, and I think this is an embarrassment for our country. I think it is shameful that these mothers of babies were sent over there to fight Saddam Hussein. But the feminist movement looks at that and says, oh, this is great. This means women are taking it like a man. This means women are shattering the glass ceiling in the military, and they have all these wonderful job opportunities. The New York Times had a whole big editorial like that.
Well, what do you expect from the New York Times?
Right.
But anyway, I think it's really so significant to understand that no military will have women in it. I mean, certainly, at least not in combat positions.
Well, yes, they have some women in it. Like you and I had friends who were waxing waves in World War II.
But they weren't in combat units.
Oh, they
That's
certainly were not in combat.
And of course, this is the thing: the Russians won't have it in combat,
and the Israelis won't have it, which
right.
is. One of the feminist myths is to try to tell you that Israel uses women in combat, and that is a complete lie. In fact, I quote one of these Israeli generals and say, of course we don't do anything like that. We have to take war seriously.
Well, of course, point out so well, that women simply don't have the upper body strength. They want a lower standard so they can get into the fire departments, so they can get into military, into our various military institutions. And then we've got, of course, lower the standards for everybody because, of course, we don't want to discriminate against the women. And the points you make there really are so valid.
And one of the unfortunate things, they do have these double standards. The women don't have to run as far or climb over the obstacle as high, and they have found that women can't throw a hand grenade far enough to keep from killing themselves. So they overlook that. Of course, women can't do the chin-ups at all.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Phyllis Lofley.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention a couple of things. First of all, there's going to be a conference over in the Santa Clara area. It's called a conspiracy conference, and there are lots sorts of people who feel that there's something going on behind the scenes. They just don't know what it is. And why is it doesn't seem to matter whether the Republicans or Democrats are in office as far as ever increasing government spending and the same attitude towards the World Trade Organizations and coddling communist China. And, well, anyway, of course, the conspiracy conference is going to be on Memorial Day weekend, 24th and 25th, and they're bringing in people from all sides of the political spectrum, from the far left to the far right, from conservatives to liberals, Democrats, Republicans, and they're going to be talking, and I've been asked to speak there. Jim Mars is going to be there, who's written some wonderful, wonderful books, and if you haven't read them, you will certainly want to hear him. If you want to know about this conference, call 209-832-0999. That's 209-832-0999, or go to their website, which is conspiracycon.com. That's conspiracycon for conference.com. And then, you know, people say, what can I do? Well, one of the things you can do is establish an institute in the Constitution in your community, at your school, at your church, in your home. Teach people about our Constitution, the foundation of our freedom, and the Christian history of our once great nation. And so you can do this by contacting the Institute on the Constitution, calling 410-760-6759. That's 410-760-6759. Get their information. Get the set of videos by David Barton and by John Eidsmo, and then establish one of these. You'll do people a favor. When they begin to understand the history of America that's been lost and how we can reclaim it by reclaiming our Constitution. Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest is Phyllis Lofley, and of course her book is The Feminist Fantasies. And if you'd like to find out about getting the book, you can call 1-888-SPEN-PUB, that's SPEN-PUB, or better still, 773-6782, that's 773-6782, 1-888-773-6782. 6782, and the book Feminist Fantasies. Important that you understand what these issues are, and because I believe this is a direct attack on America, and the other side has done a tremendous job of undermining marriage. Now, if you're out there and you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, and I'm sure Phyllis probably can answer any of your questions on this, because she's been in the forefront of this battle for many, many years. Phyllis, are we winning or losing the battle?
Well, that's hard to say. I think we're winning in terms of the fact that the liberals are in disarray. They are discredited. They don't know which way to turn. This is true of the liberals. And then the feminists were really very discredited during the Clinton administration when they stuck by him despite his dreadful behavior. And so I think generally people don't take them seriously anymore. However, the liberals and the feminists are in complete control of the media and the colleges and the school system, well, Hollywood too. And that is a very difficult thing for us to overcome. We keep trying to expose what they're doing and wake people up, but they have very powerful positions and they're able to work for their agenda on our dollars.
Well, yeah, I enjoyed the section in your book about Hillary Clinton and how on one hand she's chased to be a feminist, and then, of course, when this whole thing with Monica came out, why she tried to portray herself as just a poor little housewife, you know, and, of course, and the vast right-wing conspiracy that conspiring against her and Bill.
Yes, and, of course, she made her career the old-fashioned way. She married it.
And I thought the point you made so well was most women, of course, make it on their own. Hillary didn't make it on her own.
No.
She only did it through marriage.
Well, that just brings up the fact that feminists are not about achievement for women. If they were, they would be bragging about Condoleezza Rice or Elizabeth Dole or Margaret Thatcher, but you don't hear them talking about women like that. They're too busy portraying themselves and all women as victims. And this victimology ideology has just captivated them. And you're not going to get ahead no matter who you are, if that's the way you approach life.
Amen to that. And, of course, it's amazing what people can do, whether they're men or women, in this country if they apply themselves.
I think one of the reasons why I was able to beat them on ERA is that they didn't really believe a woman could do what I was doing. They didn't understand it. They always have to run to the men to solve their problems for them.
And, of course, the pictures the motion picture, is that a movie available, that video that I saw one time that showed you in all those debates?
It's not at the present time, but we are working on trying to make it into a video.
It really would be well worthwhile to see. Phyllis is very young, and she's very attractive, and she's there debating. I mean, all these teams of people, and testifying before Congress, and, of course, always making the telling points and winning the argument time and time and time again. And when this thing was a slam dunk, I mean, most of the states had already ratified this, and then, of course, the states, many of them, some of them actually retracted. Or was it they just couldn't get those last few states that they needed?
Five states rescinded their previous ratification. So they ended up, you see, they got 30 states in their first year in ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment, and then they got five more, but they lost five others. So their net score for the other 9 years of the battle was zero.
And, of course, Phyllis was on the front lines of that battle. Well, let's go to Chris calling from Kentucky. Hi, Chris. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a comment. I also have a historical question. Thank you for bringing this topic up. You were talking about women in the military. Something came to my mind historically. In Germany, back in, I think it was during World War II, there was a first female fighter pilot. I heard a little bit of history about her. Do you have any idea who her name was, and was she part of the feminist movement at that time?
No, I don't know about her. She was German, was she?
Yes, she was.
No, I have no information.
I don't know anything at all about her either, Chris. Maybe you can research it and get the information for us. Did you have another question?
Yeah, Marlene Dietrich part of that in historically at the time, what her lifestyle was?
Well, Marlene Dietrich was an actress, and she was a very wonderful actress. I remember her in some of her wonderful movies. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could call her a feminist.
No, I mean, she may have been a little promiscuous, but she wasn't advocating this openly. And, of course, what the feminists are doing is actually pushing promiscuity as if women should be just as promiscuous as men. There are no barriers. There's no difference. And, of course there are differences. There are differences in consequences for the women, far different than the men. And in fact, the people who benefit most from women's liberation is men, not women.
That's true. And I just, like you said earlier, they are, a lot of them are hurting people, and not necessarily all of them are homosexual. A lot of them are heterosexual acting this way as well, but deep down they're hurting.
Amen.
Yes, and you can see it in their faces.
Yes, and, they're good people, and we need to pray for them and love them and just give them help and guidance. That's what they need.
But what happens is the way they have built their ranks is by a technique called the consciousness raising session. And they will get together with some women who are hurting for one reason or another, and they will exchange their horror stories about how badly some man has treated them. Now, grievances are like flowers. If you water them, they will grow. And that is exactly what happened. And then pretty soon they're expecting society to make it up to them. Now, it's perfectly true that some men are slobs. But there are a lot of wonderful men who are husbands and fathers and trying to support their families and being good to us. And as I tell some of these women, if you're associating with the wrong kind, just get yourself a new set of friends.
Amen to that.
Okay, anything else, Chris?
Well, I want to thank you very much for bringing this topic up because it's very hard to get it in the mainstream media.
Well,
you are right. There is nobody else who talks about feminism the way I do, and that's why I wrote my book, Feminist Fantasies, which I hope you'll get because it tells you everything you need to know about the feminists but didn't know how to ask.
And
sure,
I think, Chris,
I sure do.
Actually, basically, they said if you call and you mention that you heard about it from our program, you get 50% off, 40% otherwise. We don't get anything out of it. We just, of course, we get a free book about the opportunity to talk to some wonderful
yes,
people.
Yes, you're getting a wonderful, informative program to let your listeners know what about feminism.
Amen to that. Thanks so much for calling, Chris.
Thank you, Dr. Mark.
Well, let's go to Roger calling from Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger.
Yeah, hi, folks, and thanks. And Phyllis, I've been begging Dr. Stan to get you on for the longest time, even if you don't have the vision of the anointed.
Well, he's been working on it for a while. We finally came through.
Very quickly, my one ex-girlfriend, she relates how she got hooked up with now because she had some real problems there. She was trying to help get him to help resolve and thought she got wrongfully dismissed or something like that. Anyway, she was kind of naive. She was with him for the longest time until she figured out that they were, to a woman, all lesbians. And then they went down to Washington, D.C. on some demonstration. And she had some dumb idea. She was going to do a little sightseeing in the nation's capital, and that wasn't in the regimented mold they want. They couldn't have one of their members looking on the sites of the founding fathers and such and appreciating some of our national historic sites or anything like that. That would just all have been very much against this egalitarian agenda. I just thought you'd find that amusing.
Okay, did you have a question at all?
Yes, I did, Phyllis, for the longest time. I recall you were in the audience on Rush Limbaugh's TV show once, and I never saw a more pained expression on the face of Rush Limbaugh. It was like he had to give this obligatory salute to you, but it was like he was maybe fearful that influence you might have would mitigate against this, what's the word I'm looking for, neoconservative tact that he, in distinction to you, that he pushes.
Okay, well, thanks, Alan. Roger. I don't know if you have any comment at all on that. Do you remember that?
Well, I don't know. Something else may have been going through his mind.
Right.
I consider Rush Limbaugh a friend. He has said very nice things about me. He has spoken at one of my annual conferences. And I think he's had a tremendous impact on our country.
He really has. He's brought a lot of people from the far left into the middle and towards the conservative side, and I think we are indebted to him for doing that. In fact, I really believe that in 1994, between Rush Limbaugh and, of course, the video of the Conservative Chronicles, that's why the Republicans were able to take the House of Representatives for the first time, I think, in 40 years, something like that.
Yes, at least half a century. But don't get too carried away with that now, because the liberals think that the conservatives control the media, and that's why they lost the election last year. Now, isn't that ridiculous?
I know. Well, I think that they say that, but I'm sure that they know that the New York Times and the Washington Post will never be considered as part of a vast right-wing conspiracy.
And the three networks, too.
Right.
The four networks, or I should say the five networks.
Well, now, of course, one of the things that they're trying to do, they're trying to get women onto submarines. They've got women onto combat ships, which I think is the most ridiculous thing in the world. But one of their next major goals is women on submarines. What's your thought about that?
Well, it's simply outrageous. You know what the life of a submariner is? It's no place for a woman. I've looked into some of that. They hot bunk the the beds, which means three guys sleep in two beds, and they change off the shifts. And the living quarters are so cramped, it would be just terrible to put women on the submarines. But the women, the feminists, are moving constantly to push women into every type of combat job. And let me digress a minute to tell you how these three women who were over in Iraq got where they were. You see, women are exempted from combat under present regulations, but there was something called the risk rule, which meant that women, even in non-combat jobs, could not be put in an area where they had an inherent risk of capture. Now, the feminazis during the Clinton administration repealed that rule. And that is why Shoshana and Laurie and Jessica, who were in non-combat jobs, were in an area where they had the risk of capture. And I think it's just a terrible embarrassment to our country, and I hope there are going to be changes in those laws after this war is over.
Of course, your term feminazi, that's one of Russia's famous terms.
Yes.
And it's a Limbaugh-ism. I mean, it does such a good job. Either that or the reference to the Now gang. I some of his terminology I really enjoy. Well, anyway, of course, they were intent upon, of course, changing our military, and they really, in many respects, have changed the military. One of the things you brought out, is one thing, to force the military to go along, the generals to go along with it. Another thing to force them to lie about it when they knew it wasn't effective.
I think that's one of the most unfortunate parts. Enforcing the men to lie about the double standards is really so corrupting of honor and integrity in the armed services. And men soon figure out that if they make any criticism of the double standards, that's a demerit on their career. And so it's a very bad thing. There are double standards. In fact, at the military academies, the women do not compete with the men. They compete against other women for designated female slots. And to tell people that they're doing the same thing as the men is that's a lie, but it's also dishonorable.
Did you ever look into Elaine Donnelly? And, of course, she has a Center for Military Preparedness. And, Elaine pointed out that they were actually forcing the flight officers to graduate these women pilots for fight. Now, a woman can fly the average plane as well as a man can. But when it comes to putting a plane down on the deck of a pitching, aircraft carrier, maybe there are one or two that can do it, but of course there were so few, they forced these flight officers to graduate a couple of them. One of them got killed, and the other one almost got herself, other people killed as well.
The problem is the pressure on the men to make sure that the women graduate or get the appointments or so forth. And so you just don't have any confidence. A woman could fly a plane as well as a man, but you don't have any confidence that she has passed the same test that the man did.
And, it really is the great tragedy is, of course, that it's totally demoralizing the military. And when the people realize, of course, it's all a lie, and then they begin to lose confidence in their superior officers because they know they're lying and they expect them to lie and they won't do it. And pretty soon you begin to see the morale of the, certainly of the Navy, and I'm sure even many of our Army units beginning to decline. And, of course, if you can destroy our military from within, then you don't need an enemy from without.
Well, you look at this recent scandal at the Air Force Academy, and I watched one of the hearings before the senators, and the senators were really beating up on the head of the Air Force Academy and the chief of staff of the Air Force. But the real problem was the co-ed dorms.
Sure.
And one of their solutions was they were going to eliminate the co-ed dorms. Well, why didn't they do that in the first place? Nobody dared to say that was probably had something to do with what was going on.
Well, we're in real trouble as a nation, and I think it's about time that the good people understood what it's all about, and I believe there's an organized effort to undermine the fabric of our society, and until the good people are willing to speak out, other than Phyllis Schlafly, who's always been on the front lines of this battle, but until the good people are willing to join her, and we have a great chorus of voices saying, don't you know what they're doing, why things are going to keep going the way they are. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners this evening?
Well, I guess I'm really the only one who attacks the feminist movement head on. And I think it's very important for people to know the impact they've had on our society and how destructive they've been to the family, to marriage, to motherhood, to the full-time homemaker, as well as in other aspects such as the armed forces. And that's why I hope your listeners will get my book. At, they can call and get it half price by calling 888-773-6782. That's toll free, 888-773-6782. And it's a fun read. It's got a good bit of humor in it. You know, Dr. Stan, the feminists have no sense of humor. So it's a good book to read and a good book to give to all the women in your family.
Well, I especially like the things that you said about Hillary. It made me feel very good.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you so very much for being with us.
All right, Dr. Stan.
Always a pleasure. Bye-bye and God
bless
you.
Bye. Have a good day.
Okay, fine. That was Phyllis Schlafly, and certainly one of my very, very favorite guests and a person I know and respect a great deal. So we're going to be back here in just a moment or two and, of course, wrap up our program. And remember, if you'd like to get our material on the war in Iraq, it's called Iraq, the Untold Story, a syllabus or video, or get them together, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention some of the items that we carry. One of them, of course, is Phonopoly. If you have children or grandchildren in government schools, they're not learning to read properly. They're not really learning to read phonetically. And so we carry a game. It's actually put together by Myrna Culbraith, who created the phonics game. But this is called Phonopoly. It's played like Monopoly, but, of course, in 16 hours of playing, you can retrain a child's mind so that they'll begin to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And again, of course, the product Phonopoly. Most of the phonics reading courses, $300-$500. This one's $139.95. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for Phonopoly. And then, of course, we carry the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them. But we will tell you that many of our listeners just love the products and say that they've helped them with so many things. There's a soap, a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and, of course, a neutralizer, which is a very alkaline solution, which some people take and seem to think that it helps as far as their epigastric distress or heartburn is concerned. And so if you'd like to learn more about the products, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, or hopefully you'll want to go ahead and actually buy an introductory offer of all 5 items by just giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. The products are Miracle 2 soap products. And of course, you'll find, of course, that the soap works very, very well. The moisturizing soap seems to leave your skin much softer than it was before. And, of course, as far as the lotion is concerned or the gel, I know I've for myself, I had a little rash on my forehead. But give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time I just want to mention, if you really want to understand what is happening in Iraq and what's going to happen next, because this is not the end of the war. This is only the first step, or the, maybe the second step. Afghanistan was the first conflict, but there are to be a series of conflicts, not only here, but throughout the world. How can I say that? Because I've read the plan, and you can too. Go to their website at newamericancentury.org on the internet, www.newamericancentury.org. Pull down their report on rebuilding America's defenses. And if you'd like to, of course, get a copy of my March newsletter, you can get it off the internet or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll give you a copy of my March newsletter free of charge if you haven't had a newsletter before. And there, of course, then you can go through my newsletter and then go through their report and understand what they're really planning, all these wonderful new diseases that we can target specific genotypes with. That means killing specific races. Who are these people? Well, you'll be amazed when you find out who is in this little group and how they want to have American troops stationed throughout the world like the cavalry on the new American frontier, all throughout the world, not just in the Middle East, although stationing troops in the Middle East is important. There is a new dream, and of course, unfortunately, of the dream for an American empire, and all empires have eventually been destroyed, and this will, in my opinion, eventually precipitate World War III. We are already in World War III, but the American people don't realize that in this World War, we're going to lose all of our freedom, and perhaps much more than that. Well, if you'd like to get the video or the syllabus that we have, which covers everything I've said, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. The video is called Iraq, the Untold Story. The syllabus is Iraq, the Untold Story. And you need to have this information, and you'll find so many original documents here you'll never see elsewhere. So, again, you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927, get the video or the syllabus, or get them both together at a decreased price. And then, of course, we ask you to give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do. 5 hours every day as we reach out across America, trying to help people to learn the truth. So if you'd like to, join the Radio Liberty family for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us, because that's really what it's all about. We're depending on those of you who believe there's a problem, who believe we're engaged in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological and cultural, economic, educational battlefield. We're involved in that battle, and if the people, the good people aren't involved, you can be sure that the wicked people will ultimately be victorious. And freedom is lost when good people do nothing, so I can seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And then, of course, we ask you to consider praying for America. Pray for the survival of our country. Pray for our boys who are overseas fighting at the present time. Pray for our leaders, who certainly should be moving to preserve America instead of pursuing this world empire vision. We are going to have preemptive strikes any place we want to. And, of course, if you really think this had anything to do with the weapons of mass destruction, just ask yourself, where are the weapons of mass destruction that we went to war for? Where is Saddam Hussein, the evil and wicked Saddam Hussein? And, of course, if you get our information, you'll find he worked for many years for the Central Intelligence Agency, just like the wicked Osama bin Laden that nobody can find. And then, of course, lastly, we ask you, of course, to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
Did you enjoy the program?
Okay.